Let's layer
on. Okay, we'll call the Subcommittee on Forestry of the Environment and Natural Resources Committee to order on Monday, March 1st, 6 p.m. And we have with us today our chair, Senator Saxhog, with a couple of bills to present to us. Senator Saxhog.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, members. Tonight I'm presenting Senate File 2760. This is the annual DNR forestry bill. I do have an A1 amendment that I'd like to offer, and should we offer that?
Yes. So I'm going to go ahead and offer the A1 amendment. Members, it's at your it's in your packet at your place, the A1 amendment. It's a delete all amendment. This is the Committee of Origin, so this is an author's amendment. Senator Saxhog, did you? Let's just take the vote on the A1 yeah. first, and then you can present.
Okay.
So all in favor of the A1, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, no. Motion passes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. This is going to do two things. It will make a few changes to the bill that were noticed once it was introduced. And it will also incorporate the language from Senate File 2709. Also, with some minor changes, so all we have to look at is just one document tonight.
I think you meant Senate File 2907.
2907, I certainly did.
All right.
You're right. And with me tonight is Bob Tomlinson from Forestry Division of DNR, and he's going to talk about the delete all and answer any questions that you might have.
Great. Thank you. Mr. Tomlinson.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Bob Tomlinson, the Assistant Director with the Division of Forestry. I'll just go through the bill real quick, the main sections on it, and then open it up if you have some questions.
Great.
Section number one of the bill deals with general burning permits. Everybody should have a fact sheet. I'm just going to kind of follow through that. And I don't think that that's changed as a result of the delete all. I think we're still in that same order.
Members, that's the sheet with the blue bar, the blue stripe at the top.
But number one deals with the way we issue burning permits right now. Because of us having, like everybody else, budget reductions over the last few years and having to pull in the number of folks that we have working in the DNR Division of Forestry, we've actually have less people working in the division now than we did a couple years ago. And as a result of that, we pulled back in southwestern Minnesota. So what we've got down there is a number of counties where we're no longer able to go out and work with helping to try and set up the traditional township fire warden approach to burning permits and the like. And what we're proposing here is to offer a kind of a third kind of permit, if you will. You've got the written permit, which has always been around, issued through township fire wardens. We've got the electronic permit that we've been issuing electronically through ELS the last several years. And now what we're suggesting is that for those counties in southwestern Minnesota that opt to go for it, we would like to allow them to issue a blanket burning permit, if you will, that would cover their respective counties. It would be something that we'd be willing to work with each of the counties on a case-by-case basis to come up with how to do that. And so far, the idea has been well received by those folks in that part of the state. That's basically section one of the bill, which would allow that to happen. And section two of the bill is it deals with permanent tree and open burning sites. And basically what we're looking at there is to add provisions for the site dimensions and the burn pile size and operating condition, that sort of thing, to address primarily smoke, but also some other issues relative to, you know, carbon emissions and supporting bioenergy initiatives. We'd like to see as much of that currently burned material, go into biofuel industries and things like that if possible. So we'd like to work with folks on that. So that's the section two of the bill. Section three of the bill deals with charges to landowners. Again, as a result of reducing expenditures and the number of folks around, we made a decision last year that we would begin charging private landowners for the preparation of forest stewardship plans in the state. And that work is that currently started as of December 1, but the commissioner's office has advised us that they prefer that we advertise what that is, be a written order in the state register. And so basically, section 3 of the bill just advises us that for 88.79, all the fees that we currently charge the private landowners would be published whenever we propose to change them, I think, or new fees in by written order in the state register.
And, Mr. Chair, if I could just interject there, it's not only because we have less money and we're trying to make up for that by this particular fee. It's also that so many people are interested in the Sustainable Forest Investment Act that we haven't been able to do enough forest plans for all the people that are interested. So this is an opportunity to get in the private market, too, and so we think that this is going to be a real opportunity to get our small private non-industrial landowners involved in forest plans.
Thanks for reminding me of that. The SFIA and both the 2C are two really prominent tax programs that you folks have passed in the last few years over here that are really providing the incentive for people to want those stewardship plans. Section 4 of the bill goes into the timber sales, and the first thing we want to do there is be able to reoffer unsold timber at a price that we determine that might be below what we originally appraised it at. Now, currently, when we go out and appraise timber, we use about the past 6 months' worth of transactional evidence for that particular species type and geographic location in the state. We come up with what we call a minimum bid price that we have to offer. And our foresters have the discretion to go 15% above or below that as per statute. What we want, if we are unsuccessful in selling it, oftentimes we'll attempt to sell it again, and we may be unsuccessful then as well. In certain situations, the stands may need regeneration measures taken immediately. It could be just a decadent stand of, say, lowland tamarack up in northern Minnesota. And if we've offered it at $6 and nobody's interested in it, we want to have the flexibility of saying, you know, it's important to the stand to have it regenerated, and we need to harvest it ASAP, so we're going to reoffer it at $1 or $2 or something like that and see if we can get it moved that way. And then this offering a particular piece of legislation would allow us to do that. This is all about forest health. We wouldn't do that in all cases, but for those stands that really require that regeneration harvest cut sooner rather than later, we would probably elect to do that with.
Mr. Tomlinson, can you pull the mic a little closer? There's a little echo happening.
So I'm sorry, I wasn't sure.
Is that the reason?
I can hear that.
We're trying to figure that out. Yeah.
I wasn't sure if I should pull it.
I don't know if that's going to work or not, but we'll
experiment. Okay, we'll try it that way. So that's Section 4 of the bill. Section 5 of the bill deals with a couple of auction sale procedures. What happened a couple years ago, we started a bigger effort towards offering timber via sealed bid. I think now, if I'm not mistaken, we offer about 20 or 25% of our timber sales are offered via sealed bids rather than oral auction. And what the original legislation says, I believe it was 10 days from the notice of sale.
Oh, Mr. Tomlinson, members, if you're following along, this is Section 6 now in this delete all amendment that we're talking about.
Thank you. So our intention is to just make this more date certain and to have it very clear with folks and not have any misunderstandings, is to have this that the new way it would be read would be that the sealed bid process must be received or postmarked within 14 days of the date of the sealed bid opening, which make it basically no ifs, ands, or buts. That's the date that they'd have to have that bid guarantee in back in to us. And then the second part of that, Section 6, would deal with the fact that we don't care to receive the sealed bid if it's just for a really nominal amount over what was the bid price. But if it's more than $5,000 over in excess of $5,000 of the appraised value, then that makes it more clear there that we need to have that bid guarantee submitted as well. So that's the second part of the auction sale procedures. Then I guess it would be Section 7 deals with the repealers. I'm not looking at the fact sheet here.
Yes. Yeah, Section 7 has the repealers. So and then delete all.
There are two repealers in there. One of them deals with Section 90.172, which is the annual report to the legislature on timber sale activities and things. And we feel that with the advent of the new forest timber sale module system that we have in place right now, we can provide that type of information at any time throughout the course of the year. And actually, we meet regularly with the industry folks and with others and kind of update them on the sorts of things that you're looking for there. We just feel that we can do that at any given time, and we really don't need to have it in there with the, you know, that we need to present it at a certain time. And frankly, I'm not sure how widely read it is when we send it over anyway, because we do provide that information on a more regular basis. So our suggestion is to repeal that, and we'll make every effort to provide the information on an ongoing basis in lieu of that.
And Mr. Chair and Mr. Tomlinson, we had a discussion today and about the coming reductions in the natural resources finance bill, and one of the questions was, "What's forest?" And so,
forest.
We'll bring that up tomorrow. Yeah. You bring up a really good point. Yeah. It's like instant information. So
absolutely, we've been the division's been investing heavily in their information system technology for probably the last 7 or 8 years, and you folks have been funding, I think, it to the tune of about $350,000 a year. You know, it's an activity line item fund that goes towards that. So that program is working really well for us right now. That's one of about three or four information system modules within Forest. The second part of that repealer deals with the Forest Management Lease.
Mr. Tomlinson, yes. I don't think we included that in the delete all amendment. We don't have 88795. Is not included in Section 7 as a repeal.
Well, you have you don't have the second piece included in the repeal.
That's what you're talking about.
I'm sorry. You have the piece that I just talked to included in the repeal.
Right, deleting the reports to the legislature and the executive
council.
You
don't have the second piece.
The Forest Management Lease Pilot Project.
Okay, well, there you go.
All right.
And do we cover all the sections then?
Except Section 5. Is that the same as 2907? Is that?
Yes.
Yeah, so Section 5 would be the language of 2907. So do we want to talk about that? In the A1 delete all amendment.
This is your new. This is the new. This is where you incorporated 2907 in. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Intermediate auction sales. Currently, we have a situation that was set up about 25 years ago. Greg Knopf might remember this, I think, with told Senator Willett put this in place about then, where there was an interest in making sure that smaller operators, if you will, had a good chance of being successful at an auction in bidding against the large companies. And so there was a decision made at that time to have an intermediate sale that was for 3,000 cords or less, and then regular auctions, which are for 3,000 cords or greater, but that the intermediate auctions could only be bid on by companies that had 20 employees or less. And as I've been learned in the last couple months, the number 20 was, you know, somewhat arbitrary, but it seemed to make sense. Every few years, it comes up that somebody ought not be bidding on a particular track or whatever, and we have to do some checking into it. And it's been kind of problematic for us relative to being able to differentiate between who are big and who are small, because it deals with not just loggers, but it deals with all the employees within the company, however they happen to be incorporated. I think this year you're putting in language here then that would, in lines 4.10, item C there, actually go up back above that to 4.3. You're changing 20 employees to 30 employees, but you're leaving the definition of employees to be just the way it has been. And then you go down to 4.1, which is to just make it clear that when we need to be, when we're in a position of having to determine whether a company is a big company or a small company, we use the workers' comp records from the Department of Labor and Industry to make that decision. And that's just perfectly fine with us, and actually will help us have a more consistent standard approach to this in the future, when and if it ever it comes up again, which it probably will, even at 30 employees at some point in time. So thank you for that amendment.
Thank you. Mr. Meyer.
All right. Mr. Chair, members, I'm just here to provide moral support to the team right now.
All right.
But I do want to say thank you to Senator Saxog and others for this
Mr.
ability
Meyer,
to
could,
work with.
Introduce yourself.
Oh, I'm sorry. Bob Meyer, Assistant Commissioner, Department of Natural Resources. But the language in the delete all in Section 5 that we just talked about will help us deal with these challenges more effectively to make sure that we do have the people able to compete for these intermediate sales that are supposed to compete for them. These are oftentimes the small mom-and-pop loggers that we're trying so desperately to keep in business right now. So thank you.
Thank you. Questions from the committee on any part of the bill? I had a couple of things that occurred to me as you were making the presentation. I'll try to remember them. I was trying to take notes. On the general burning permit or the kind of let anyone burn anytime, in Southwest Minnesota, what kinds of things does the county need to take into consideration? As well, I see that the history, you know, all that stuff. But what sorts of things does a particular when an individual wants to burn something, what do they have to conform to? What sorts of general rules and
well,
and Rex, the reason I ask is because all I have in my mind right now is, you know, the issue of, you know, when we have, you know, high pressure, when we have, you know, the wind blowing into the metro area, you know, some of these recent high particulate days. Do we need to be worried about that under this new protocol of kind of letting anyone burn anytime?
Mr. Chair, members. First off, I think that the issue is probably more pronounced in southwestern Minnesota now than it was 20 years ago because of all the CRP acres and rim acres that you got down there, which is a lot of grass that is flammable, unlike, you know, soybean fields or corn, for that matter, during the summer months and that sort of a thing. So certainly, you know, landowners would have to be cognizant of what's adjacent to them as they're burning and take, be cautious about how they're going about it. We usually offer permits, say, for example, through our permit system, are usually to burn in the evenings after the winds died down, you know, like after 6 in the night but before 6 in the morning, that sort of a thing. And I would guess that as we work out the blanket type of a permit system in southwestern Minnesota on a county-by-county basis, that's a tort type of recommendation that we would make to whoever it is that we're working with in the county relative to that. Certainly, there hasn't been nearly as many requests for burning permits down there as there are in other places of the state, but those are some of the considerations I think that we'd want to take into account, Mr. Chair.
Well, think a little bit about air pollution, too, because
absolutely. Absolutely.
I understand that this isn't a huge issue, but, you know, every bit adds up. And we've had, 14 now of these air quality alerts, 14 or 18 in the Twin Cities this year. And it's attributable to burning cars, industrial emissions. Sometimes it's just dust that gets kicked up when there's not a lot of snow cover. The other question I had, Mr. Tomlinson, was on the where was it? I made a note. the selling for the, you know, below the appraised value in those instances when you've got a stand that needs to be thinned, taken down for regeneration purposes. I didn't see anything that spoke to that specific issue. It just kind of says you could just do it if it hadn't sold.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so I was just a little concerned that maybe the language didn't speak specifically to those instances and those circumstances that you cited. It seemed like at any old time anyone could, or the commissioner could offer the stand for sale for, you know, pennies on the dollar just to get it sold.
Well, I think, and you're correct. I see it doesn't say that in subdivision on page 3 of the bill. I'm looking at the.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. Mr. Knopf did point out to maintain and enhance forest ecosystems on state forest lands. So that's the qualifying language.
Sure.
And part of it, Mr. Chair, is that if you've got a bad stand of timber and it doesn't sell, I mean, there's usually some reason for it, you know, other than that it's too far away from the source. So,
right.
But that's probably as good a reason as any.
Market conditions are one reason right now, plus the forest health thing, you know, another.
All right. Great.
Absolutely.
Really the only things that popped out for me. Anything else from the committee? Okay. Senator Sexhog, do you have a motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move that Senate File 2760 as amended be recommended to pass and sent to the full committee.
On Senator Sexhog's motion, any questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Motion passes. So, Senator Sexhog, we don't need to take up your second bill, is that correct?
Nope, that's part of the first bill.
Right, okay.
Thank you.
Anything else, members? Nope, we are adjourned.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator. Good job. Good. Yeah.